We're going to read two of the little parables in this chapter of Kingdom Parables as we think about our mission statement to grow in Christ. Matthew 13, and we're just going to read three verses, 31 to 33. Jesus is speaking. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all the seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And now as we look at it, would you please help us by the power of your spirit to understand it and apply it well. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul Kelly, the Australian rock music songwriter, has a title of one of his songs called From Little Things, Big Things Grow. Do you know the song? Of course you do. Used by superannuation ad, hasn't it? I could sing it if you don't know it, but that wouldn't help you at all. But even if you don't know the song, you probably do know the event that it celebrates. It's a song of a victory of one man who instigated a 9-year battle that resulted in his people, being given ownership of the land, of land rights in the Northern Territory. And this one man was Vincent Lingari. Vincent led a walk-off from the Wave Hill cattle station in 1966. And this walk-off led to, it was a result of poor conditions of the indigenous workers in the place. And that was the start of a 9-year standoff. And over that period, that 9-year period, support for Vincent and his people grew and grew. Hence the song, From Little Things, Big Things Grow. And finally, after 9 years, that historic event in 1975 took place, where Prime Minister Gough Whitlam pours a handful of local sand into the hands of Vincent. A symbolic gesture, if you like, of white man handing over the rights of the station land to the indigenous Gurindiji people. Now, whatever you think of that event, it says something about how a cause and a movement can grow from something very small and insignificant to something big. What Vincent started as an angry reaction against unacceptable work conditions ends up with the Aboriginal Land Rights Act. The end result was a recognition of a people within the nation of Australia. The Gurindiji people were given custodianship, they were given ownership of the land. They were free to practice their law, they were free to practice their culture and their language within and yet separate from the wider nation of Australia. So we have, in a sense, a small nation within a nation. And surprisingly, that's what we're going to be considering today, is a comparable situation which we find ourselves in as God's people. We find ourselves in a situation as Christians where we're actually caught up in a very similar sort of situation. We are looking at the growth of the kingdom of God, at the kingdom of heaven. And this growth is taking place within and among the kingdoms of this world. The kingdom of God has been growing and expanding within the world for the past 2,000 years. Paul Kelly's song would have really fitted with what we're looking at with regard to the kingdom of God. From little things, big things grow. So turn with me to chapter 13 of Matthew's Gospel. This is the kingdom of heaven chapter. There's 7 parables in this chapter, all dealing with the kingdom of heaven, what it's like, who gets in, how it grows, what it's worth, and its value, and so forth. And we're going to look at those two little parables I read out a moment ago in verses 31 to 33. And the reason that we're doing this is because we're going through a series looking at the Word of God in relation to our vision statement as a church and in relation to our mission statement as a church. So, quick recap, last week, our vision is to be a vibrant and passionate church-centred community, Christ-centred church community. That's our vision, that's what we're aiming to be. In spite of circumstances, that we find ourselves in, the Lord wants his people to be enthusiastic and passionate followers of him. He wants us to be declaring his praises, the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvellous light. But a vision without a plan to achieve that vision is a bit like a letter without an address on it. Might be well written, might be nicely sealed up, but it's going nowhere. A vision that doesn't have an address on it is just a fancy letter. It needs direction. And that's where our mission statement kicks in. Our mission statement is the vehicle that drives us towards our vision. It's the vehicle that gets us there, if you like. It's the wheels underneath us that move us forward towards that vision. And so over the next 4 weeks, we'll be doing our mission statement, simply because there's four clauses in the mission statement, as you can see on the screen. Our mission is to grow in Christ, equip through Christ, serve like Christ, and reach others with Christ. So we do the first clause today. To reach our vision, we are on a mission to grow in Christ. That's what we're aiming to do. So what does that mean in real terms? Well, it means we want to grow in our confidence of the Lord Jesus. We want to know that he is the way, the truth, and the life. It means that we want to grow in our certainty of what it means to be a faithful follower of Jesus in spite of circumstances. We need to know the certainty of these things. We want to know with clarity that the Christian life is a life of Christ-like, sacrificial, visible, servant-hearted service of our Lord and others. And we want to know that if we live this way, if we live in this radical, countercultural way within the world that we are in, if we step out in faith and walk by faith, not sight, we want to know for certain that God is not leading us up the path and dropping us in the well. That's what growing in Christ is all about. It's about growing in our trust and confidence. Trust and obey, there's no other way. It's really a good song to kick this morning off with, because that's what we want to do in growing in Christ. So let's look at the kingdom parables on growth. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. Gardening illustration, gardening story. I'm not big on gardening, but even I get this parable. And I'm sure you do too. The kingdom starts tiny and ends up huge. Why does Jesus need to stress this? Well, for a number of reasons. Firstly, the Jews and even Jesus' followers are expecting the kingdom to come with a bang. They're expecting that the kingdom would come with great strength and power, and all at once. It would be enormous, unbeatable, visible and instant. We want things instantly, don't we? We want, as humans, we want to be able to condense an eternity into a lifetime. That's why we get so frustrated with things going so slowly. Instant everything. This is what the disciples of Jesus and the Jews were expecting. An instant, visible, unbeatable kingdom expectation. That's why James and John, you remember the story, James and John sidle up to Jesus on one occasion and they ask him, they get in his ear and ask him, when your kingdom comes, can each of us sit on one side of you in power? See, they want the big spot on the big day. They want the best spot. And Jesus teaches, kingdom's not going to come like that. The kingdom would start tiny and it would grow. Like a tiny mustard seed, which over time grows to be the biggest garden plant. It's a tree where birds can find rest. That's kingdom growth. That's what we can get from this parable. It is unexpected. It's not what you would expect. Pick a whole bunch of seeds of different sizes, and the smallest insignificant little mustard seed is not the one that you would expect to be the biggest plant in the garden. Kingdom growth starts with the most unexpected person, Jesus. You would not pick Jesus in a lineup for world ruler one time in a million. So Jesus was a homeless, penniless Galilean peasant. He was despised and rejected by the rich and powerful and religious. He was abandoned and forsaken by his friends. He was killed on a cross on a Friday, And the expectation was on that day that that was the end of that. The Galilean upstart had done his thing. He was done and dusted. Let's get on with life. It's all over. That was the expectation that was so majorly wrong, wasn't it? Jesus is the seed of the kingdom of heaven. In him alone is indestructible life. And from this one insignificant nobody from the backwaters of Galilee springs the unstoppable, the glorious, and the ever-expanding kingdom of God that we're also caught up in. The kingdom has come in Jesus. The kingdom is a certainty, and its expansion is a certainty not because it is dependent on what we do. It's dependent on what Christ has already done. That's the first parable. The kingdom starts with Jesus and grows by Jesus. His power is making the kingdom growth a certainty. Second parable describes how the kingdom is going to grow. Verse 33, he told them yet another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. This is a cooking illustration. I'm slightly better cook than I am a gardener. And again, the point of this parable is not too hard to get. The growth of the kingdom will happen through permeation. Put a spoonful of yeast in a bucket of flour and mix it into the dough, and the yeast permeates everything. The yeast works through everything, changes it. You can't see the yeast, but you can see the result. That's how kingdom growth happens. It happens by the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you can't see him. He is described as wind, but you can see his effects. You can see the trees blowing, or you can see the yeast working in the loaf. The kingdom is growing by the permeating power of the Holy Spirit, who is regenerating people from the old kingdom of darkness and setting them on fire for Christ. It's what happens when we are saved. The Spirit comes to us, regenerates us, awakens us, and changes us. And it happens over and over again. One person can set on fire by Christ, by the Holy Spirit, can permeate a group, can't it? Permeate a group, a society, a school, a factory, a shop, an office. And it happens again and again and again down through history. People living under Jesus as their king, living transformed lives that permeate and infiltrate the wider kingdom of darkness. Societies are transformed. 2,000 years this has been happening. Transformation of society. All those who were marginalized and weak, the infirm, the young, the outcasts, are all treated with dignity and respect by followers of the King Jesus. Changes things. This is kingdom growth. From the most humble beginnings, the kingdom grows on the person and work of Jesus Christ alone. He's the seed that grows the kingdom. For one person to over 2 billion people who gather on a weekly basis celebrating Jesus as King today. Kingdom is a growing thing. It grows not by the individual, not by the church's effort. It grows on the person of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm labouring this point because it's significant. Because when we think about this, we think, well, where do we come in? Why are we on a mission as a church to be growing in Christ? Well, it's precisely for this reason. It's only when we recognise that it is Christ's kingdom, that it is Christ's church, that it is his work, that we are actually liberated to live effective, obedient lives for him. See, what tends to happen is people get this wrong. People think that we are bringing in the kingdom, and that's wrong. But if we think along those lines, what tends to happen is churches start playing the numbers crunching game. We think that the kingdom stands or falls based on our performance, which is absolute nonsense. If we think like that, we'll see kingdom success as more people sitting on the seats. And kingdom failure is when churches have dwindling attendance, which is an utter fallacy. Jesus is building his kingdom, not us. Jesus isn't winning when we are successful and growing as a church in Australia. And Jesus isn't losing when we get marginalised and wiped out. He doesn't lose. The kingdom is far bigger than the church. It's founded on Jesus. It's growing by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the church, if you like, well, the church is like the little bird that lands in the mustard tree, branches of the mustard tree. The church proclaims the kingdom. The church lives by kingdom standards. The church promotes the kingdom. But we do it all from within the safety and security of the kingdom that's already been brought into effect by Christ and growing by the power of the Spirit. Kingdom growth has nothing to do with church attendance. I'll show you why. It has everything to do with the person and work of Jesus and the power of the Spirit. Our mission to grow in Christ is all about growing in our love and trust of Jesus. We want to grow in trusting Him. The more we grow to appreciate and understand what Jesus has done for us, the better we'll be able to live faithfully and obediently to Him, no matter what our circumstances are, no matter whether our circumstances are good or bad or otherwise. And that's the place we want to get to in growing in Christ. We want to get to that place where we can be faithful witnesses of God's goodness to us, God's love for us, God's protective power and control over us in spite of our circumstances, or within our circumstances might be better. Our aim is to be godly and content within whatever circumstances God puts us in. We grow in Christ to get to that place of godliness and contentment. Kingdom founded on Jesus within the world. Jesus, while he was walking this earth, what did he do? He preached the good news of the kingdom. He demonstrated the liberating power of his kingdom rule in what he did. That's what the miracles do. The Holy Spirit descended on Jesus at his baptism, and throughout his ministry on earth, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus went about just doing good. He healed the sick. He liberated the oppressed. He fed the hungry. He raised the dead. He preached the good news of the kingdom by his words and his actions. He claimed entrance into this glorious kingdom was through faith in him and repentance in him. So in his preaching and his living, Jesus revealed the nature and the power of the kingdom. And then Jesus dies on a cross. He's despised and rejected by wicked men, but he's chosen and precious to God. And by this amazing sacrifice, he accomplishes his work of salvation for the world. For this reason, the church's answer to every important question is Jesus. That's the answer we give as a church to every important question. Jesus cries from the cross, it is finished, and it is. The work of salvation is completed at the cross. Jesus is the one who conquered Satan and his agents for us. Jesus is the one who is our Redeemer, who has freed us from the power and punishment of sin. Jesus is our new covenant sacrifice that we've just remembered in the Lord's Supper. He is our great high priest who offered himself up. He is our justification. We stand forgiven at the cross. Jesus withstood the wrath of God that we deserve. Jesus cleanses us from defiling sin, ours and others. He pays our ransom price. He provides the perfect example to live by. He reconciles us back to God as the one who, and he is the one who fully reveals God to us. You add all this together and you realize that this is the way we grow in Christ. As it clicks in our mind and sinks into our hearts, we respond appropriately. That's why we need to grow in Christ, so that we can live effectively for him. That's why we praise Jesus, because he's done it all. We who make up the church have benefited from the work of Jesus. We live in the truth of it. We gladly proclaim his praise. This kingdom that we're caught up in is unstoppable. It is expanding because of Jesus and Jesus alone. The kingdom is a living, growing and escalating thing because Jesus is the one who's doing it, not us. It's not dependent on the church. It's not dependent on you, the individual. It's Jesus' kingdom. It's growing because he said it would. And his word never fails. So, application for us. We want to grow in Christ, grow in our love and trust of him to the point of understanding that regardless of what the world may throw at us, Jesus will provide all that we need for life in abundance. regardless of whether we are run over by the wicked in this world. Even if the whole Christian witness in Australia was to be snuffed out, we can still remain faithful in that process. Or the reverse, if every Aussie in Australia becomes a believer, that'd be fantastic. But either way, regardless of our circumstances, we will remain loving and faithful and obedient servants of Jesus. We need to get this. Growing in Christ is about having Jesus more and more as Lord of your life, regardless of your circumstances. And it's very important that we see this. See, if you read through the letters to the churches in Revelation, none of them get told grow the kingdom. They get told to be overcomers in their situation. So you look at those seven churches, and the churches in Ephesus are battling heresy, and they've lost their first love. The church in Smyrna is a church that is facing extinction. They're going to be wiped out. Jesus knows it. And they're told not to be afraid. The church in Pergamum is succumbing to syncretism. They're wanting to be cool. They're wanting to fit in with the world and do what everyone else is doing. And they're told to repent. The church in Thyatira is engaging in immorality. They're getting sucked into the world's sinful desires and living that way. And they're told to hold on to the truth. The church in Sardis is all show. It's a fantastic show and there's no substance. And they're told and warned to remember the word of God. The church in Philadelphia is weak and faithful. They're very weak, they're very faithful. And they're told to just hang on and press on and endure patiently. It's just good to see the sweep of different circumstances that God puts people in, and in those circumstances he provides them with what they need to remain faithful. And that is growing in Christ. That is growing in our confidence that regardless of what you have to go through and endure in this world, Jesus will remain with you and give you all that you need for life in abundance. He will provide you with the strength that you need. Read the Book of Martyrs and you realize that Jesus provides the strength for people even to the point of death. And we need to get to that place where we are growing in Jesus to the point where we know, in spite of our circumstances, whatever we go through, he will be with us, he will go through it with us, and he will win. Vastly different circumstances of the different churches and our circumstances in Australia, well, you work them out. What are we to do as Christians in Australia? Well, we've got to resist the temptation towards affluenza, apathy, sleepiness, wealth. All those things, we are not to take those things on. That is the word of to the church at Acacia Ridge, or the church in the West, if you like, to remain faithful to the Lord. So, what do we do as Christians? Are we to try and dominate the world by running for parliament and imposing Christian beliefs on others? No. It's not what we're told to do. Are we to pander to the world and try to be cool and relevant and just like them so that they come to us? No, that's not what we're to do. Are we to withdraw from the world? You know, batten down the hatches, basically form a little holy huddle and keep the evil influences of the world out there and wait for Jesus to take us home and fix the mess? No. What we are to do as Christians, we are to be engaged, loving, faithful, visible, serving presence in the community, regardless of our circumstances. That's what we're aiming to be. We are aiming to be engaged, loving, faithful, visible, serving presence in the community. That's our goal, individually and as a church. We live as witnesses to our resurrected Lord. We live by kingdom standards. The kingdom of heaven is growing and growing on the person and work of Jesus, and it'll continue to do so by the power of the Holy Spirit. One day, when Jesus returns, we know this. We have confidence. One day, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For us to actually get this more and more fully is for us to be growing in Christ. That's our mission. We want to grow in Christ in this way. We want to be progressively understanding the power of God to work in and through us for His glory and His kingdom, in spite of our circumstances. And as we do that, of course, our confidence in Jesus will result in our ability to be vibrant and passionate for Him. We can live, regardless of our circumstances, for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. Why don't I pray? Father, as we think about growing in our love and understanding of Jesus, we ask that you will help us to do this by the power of your Spirit and not in our own strength. You know our weaknesses, our failings, our shortcomings, and we confess them to you, asking that you will help us to be overcomers. You know the world that you've put us in. You know the situation in Australia or wherever we live. We are part of your kingdom, but we are aliens and strangers in this world and life. Help us, Lord, to be aware of our situation, to be living counterculturally, to be living for Jesus Christ our Lord. Give us the strength to do this, to be people who do overcome by the power of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.